Hello everyone, welcome to Chan Podcast. Here is where you learn about meditation and Chan. So, what is Chan? Chan, spelled as C-H-A-N, is the Chinese school of Mahayana Buddhism and is the originating tradition of Japanese Zen. We encourage you to learn and practice meditation with a group. If you'd like to, feel free to visit our website londonchanmeditation.org.
Nice talk. Three seals of the Dharma. Three seals. What is a seal? It's like a stamp seal. A stamp seal. The seal of the stamp is exactly the same as, you know, the carving of the on the bottom of the stamp. Right? So the imprint matches. This means it's the same. It's the same. Right? Also, the seal has associated meaning of kind of certifying something, right? Like you get a notary kind of certification, you get a stamp seal. And the Buddha says this: how does one discern what is the Dharma? Dharma. From our perspective, Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teaching. How does one discern? He says, there are three aspects. If a person gives a teaching and doesn't touch on, whether directly or indirectly, any of these angles, these three kind of seals, right, that certifies or replicates or imprints the teaching, then is probably not Buddha Dharma. It's probably not what he's teaching. So what are these three? Dissatisfaction, dukkha, suffering, impermanence. And not self. Okay? Suffering, impermanence, not self. This not self could also be interpreted as how things, ourselves or inanimate objects, are already free. They are already without permanent, separate, independent existence, like a fixed, rigid thing. Right? So it's already free from that. So you could say the three seals of Buddha Dharma is suffering, impermanence, and freedom. So sometime in some tradition talk about the four seals, the last one being nirvana. But this nirvana is actually an extension of no self. So the two are intricately connected. So three seals, four seals. Now what is suffering? Why is that placed first? What is impermanence? What exactly is this not self or freedom or nirvana, liberation, awakening? There are a lot of terms for that. Last one. The important thing is, in all this, is actually impermanence. Impermanence lies in the center between suffering and liberation. Realization of no self. Right? Why? Because it serves as a hinge. because our suffering, dukkha, the way we live our lives, the way we habitually, through our patterned discursive thinking, compartmentalizes our experience into this and that, good and bad, having, lacking, wanting, needing, grasping, rejecting. Right? The way we reify things into solid things. Now, this is part of our habit. Our tendency is to make everything into a big deal. Everything into a thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? We make everything into a thing. That is at the heart of what Buddha meant by suffering. Right? We want this moment to be other than what it is. Suffering. That wanting to be other than what it is a form of resisting. Now, if it's going very well, according to our wishes, according to our notion of things, our narrative of how things ought to be, then we may think it's not suffering, but actually we're perpetuating it. We're grasping it, solidifying our notion. And that prevents us to see that how things actually are. And how things actually are is moment to moment to moment change. You could say new beginnings. You don't have to take impermanence as something pessimistic, impermanence, everything's going to hell and it's just deteriorating. You can see it that way, but you could also see it as new beginnings, freshness. Freshness. The reason why impermanence is in the center is because when we solidify, reify that which is fluid into things, discrete things, or we want this thing to be other than what it is, grasping, rejecting, loving, hating, then you have suffering. That's a form of resistance to impermanence, to how things actually are, in a center. So the gate of suffering opens. See? Impermanence is like a hinge. Now, if we learn to work with impermanence, recognize it, aligning ourselves with the dynamic, infinite possibility of new beginnings, then the gate of liberation swings to no self, which is how things actually are. There is no reify, solidify things. Do you follow? That is the three seals of Buddha Dharma. So impermanence, whether you take it negatively or positively or just see it, as it is, and as it is, this moment to moment new. And learning, when we hold on to our opinion, what do? Loosen the grasping hands and see it as new. When we are challenged, something opposite to how we like things to be, see it as a new beginning. Once you see that, there's infinite possibility. That is the workings, freedom of the wisdom of liberation, which is not self. When we have a permanent, when we hold on to a permanent, reified notion of me, I, mine, there is no freedom. There is no creativity. And there's no possibilities. We're stuck in the rut of our pattern way of thinking. You see? So creativity, imagination, the ability to freely adapt to things, that is not self. And what lies in the middle is impermanence. So this is the key. How to work with impermanence? We have to be ever mindful of impermanence. Right? How do we be mindful? Just being in tune with what is actually happening. And what's happening is dynamic flow of moment-to-moment change, which is moment-to-moment possibilities. That when we are at the low point of our lives, we're not going to stay there forever. Oh, change. It can only go up. When we are angry, right, you can try to hold your anger for 24 hours, 2 days, 3 days. See if you can do it. You can't do it because the nature of anger is actually openness. The nature of anger is actually freshness. They liberate themselves if we don't hold on to it. So the point of practice is not to suppress anger, get rid of it, and you don't, like, once you start practicing, you don't smile anymore because you're very serious, you're mindful of impermanence. That's not practice. That is a person that really don't understand the wondrous flow of Buddha Dharma that's everywhere. So working with impermanence, first thing is to recognize it. Recognize. Learning to see the beauty and the change in all things. Even when things come to an end, there's possibility in that. And there's beauty in that. When flowers wither, leaves fall, become foliage. When relationships end, when our loved ones pass away, there's great depth of meaning. And this meaning continue to flourish, to blossom. And there's beauty in that. When we hold on to permanence, then the gate of suffering opens. The gate of suffering opens when we recognize the potential and beauty in each moment. The gate of liberation opens. We align ourselves with how things actually are, which is no self. Now, the self is not me, I, mine. Of course, there's a self, but the Dharma talks about the self as a reified, solidified, self-referential notion that can be let go of. And of course, you have personalities. Why? Because you have a history. History, you know, to put it in colloquial terms, is basically the Buddhist word karma. That's basically history. There's a history to why you are the way you are. Of course you are. You know, Nancy, Linda, so-and-so. So there's no denying that. But this tendency to resist impermanence, to solidify things, that can be freed. So there are many words for this freedom, or this not-self. Some people call awakening. Some people call Buddha nature in a different text. Tathagata Garbha, you know, the Buddha within, right? Or wisdom, prajna, transcendent wisdom. That, because that is what liberates. That is what liberates us from suffering, from the gate of suffering, and going down that path. So, as long as we have this correct understanding of what is actually Buddha Dharma, what is actually, you know, some new age teaching, you know, about this and that, we can begin to discern how each tradition, each teacher come at this Buddha Dharma from from their own perspectives. Right? All traditions are valid. And you know, some people gravitate to this teaching, some people gravitate to that teaching. But whether, even though we speak different languages, what seems to be different languages, actually it's the same. Same taste of liberation. Okay. Any questions? So, three seals of Dharma. Stamp seal. This is how you certify if the teaching is actually the Buddhist teaching or non-Buddhist teaching. You know, some people may, some teachers, different traditions, may introduce the method of practice or some perspectives. You know, they may elaborate on impermanence from the perspective of a temporal perspective, because impermanence is actually a temporal perspective. And some people may come at it from a spatial perspective, like not self. Right? Like guagu is made up of non-guagu. Right? All of my thinking, who I think I am, all these different people come together in my life. In fact, this very moment, bear witness to all the people in my life, my teachers, and my teachers' teachers, all the generation of lineage within Chan. So this moment embodies all of them, there are traces of them. Same with you. Each moment that we face a person, we bring to it all that we are. Right? So there's a history to it, and there's a relationship to it. Right? And that interconnectedness. You know, some teacher may talk about emptiness or no self as relationships, interconnectedness. Right? So that's okay, it's Buddha Dharma. Now that's Buddha's teaching. So impermanence, for example, for me, impermanence, I usually just say it means new beginnings. Okay? And not self, I usually express that as relationships. So what is no self? What is this business about no self that Buddhism is talking about? Or emptiness? You know, it's not vacuity, it means relationships. Guagu is made up of non-guagu. Everything about guagu. You know, you're made up of everyone else in your life. So this relationship, this confluence of all the influences, traces. So it's much to be grateful to. Much to be grateful to. So if a person practices in this way, you know, you may have a particular method of practice, but you understand Buddha Dharma, naturally it will give rise to gratitude. Gratitude. Right? When our self-centeredness, self-referentiality diminishes, then gratitude comes up. Because we realize we're made up of everyone. I'm made up of you. So, all right, question. How to use impermanence for anger management? Well, you have to be familiar with recognize, I said, right? Recognizing impermanence first. Just like when we did meditation earlier, we learn how to prime the body, the breath, and the heart. So get used to doing this. Then we'll begin to extend it to daily life, right? So it's about practice. So you have to learn to recognize impermanence, because deep down, the way we actually act is we assume everything is permanent. That's why we resist it. And when we examine our suffering, what is really at the core is, to put it simply, We want this moment to be other than what it is. We don't like it. So you have to learn to recognize impermanence. If you don't recognize it, you won't be able to work with it. Definitely won't be able to apply it to your anger management. So recognition. Learn to recognize that all things change. All things, including ourselves, moment to moment, freshness. Right? So I'll give you an exercise, all right? So learn to recognize freshness when you have a wandering thought in meditation. Now usually people, wandering thought, I want to get back to the method. Bring yourself back to the method. Why do I have so much wandering thought? I want this to be other than what it is. Right? You're doing that again. Right? So that's not how to work with impermanence. Now if you truly know how to meditate, it's not suppressing wandering thoughts. You see through what they really are, which is they liberate themselves. There's a freshness quality to actually wandering thoughts. Do you believe it? How many of you have recognized this? No one's raising hands, okay. So some of you, hopefully, there's a freshness. Like, where does it come from? We have no idea. And where did it just go? Right? Like, thoughts come, oh, go back to the method. Where did it just go? That instantaneous appearing and vanishing. Every moment is a fresh beginning. Learn that. So try this exercise. Before you deal with anger management, learn to do this first, right? Then this will give you an entryway into kind of working with impermanence, and then you start to apply to when you get pissed off. When you get annoyed at, you know, certain people do certain things, you learn to recognize the freshness of how you're actually feeling. Right? Where does it come from? And how your body kind of tenses up. Now, what we just did in the meditation, what do? When the body tenses up? Relax, ground, and then engage. Right? Remember? Right? So you have tools now. You have two homework assignments. Now, I'm going to put on my professor hat. Okay, so I'm going to give homework. So one, learn to recognize freshness in moment to moment in your meditation. First, you got to do it when you're not too distracted. And then in daily life. Okay. And when you discover tension, relax, ground, literally feeling the tactile sensations at the feet, right? And then engage. Okay. Do this for 2 weeks. Right? 2 weeks. Actually, I'm speaking next week, right? Okay, I'm gonna check up on you guys. See if you do this homework, all right? Do this for this week. And then you'll report back. Right? And then you start to apply to something a little bit more difficult. You know, first just wandering thoughts, you know, thinking of this, thinking of that. Then to apply it to something more difficult. Circumstances where you find yourself, you're annoyed. You're a little anxious. Or you have to do something, you're kind of nervous. You know, getting the butterfly stomach. Recognize the freshness in that. Okay? And then slowly work your way up to anger. Good? All right.
Well, Guru, I had a question. I put it in the chat, but I think I can just ask it out loud.
Sure.
So in the past year, I feel like there's been a lot more focus on like self-growth. And I mean, for me personally, it's been a lot. There's been a lot of thought around like, me, myself, thinking about myself, and very self-centered thought processes in general. So I know you're you were telling us earlier to focus on, like, divert thought from the self and, you know, focus on other people and relationships. And I was wondering if you have any specific advice about how to go about doing that, especially during this time when we're, I feel like a lot of people are feeling really isolated and stuck in their own heads.
Yes. We don't call those thoughts about taking care of ourselves as self-centered thought. Okay? That's called self-care. And the Buddha never called those kind of thoughts problematic. So we have to get that clear. The Buddhist notion of self-centeredness, right? Self, what I call self-referentiality. He was pointing to specific things, tendencies and habits that generates vexations, klesha, greed, hatred, ignorance. He's not talking about, like, I have to eat. Okay, I eat. Oh, that's so selfish of me, wanting to eat, you know. Or you're sick. Oh, so selfish of me, trying to take care of myself. He's not talking about that. That's the kind of just living, right, life. That's a conventional. You know, the Buddha ate, and the Buddha took care of himself, bathed, you know. They practiced all kinds of self-care. It's actually in the Vinaya. Most of the Vinaya, the Buddhist canon, is actually about self-care. How to brush your teeth, how to do all kinds of stuff. How to carry yourself, your deportment, all that. And you have to be aware of how you are taking care of yourself and how you are not taking care of yourself. So, during this coronavirus pandemic era in which we are under a lot of stress, we're isolated, and we are feeling angst, we feel disconnected. So naturally, we have to take care of ourselves. Right? How to eat healthy, how to not always be on the device, how to allow ourselves to sleep well. I talk about eating, right? Sleep well, exercise, think about how to take care of ourselves, how to connect in other ways. Right? Like when I first went to Emory, I had to drive all the way to Emory. But now, the benefit of Zoom, we're together. So how to use it wisely, you know, our time on the internet. Right? So we have to take care of ourselves. All those thinking, planning, it's not self-centered. But if it generates vexations, you know, greed, hatred, ignorance, a sense of having, sense of lacking, sense of grasping, sense of rejecting, then that's vexations. Does that make sense? So self, the Buddha always taught self, you have to at least bring yourself to be a healthy, congruent self first. Right? All the different behavioral practices of the Vinaya. Actually, to take care of ourselves, to be healthy for oneself and interpersonal relationship healthy. So you gotta, from our fragmented, undisciplined sense of self, bring it to a congruent sense of self, healthy. And then you mature the self through meditation practice and so on. And then you talk about no self. Does that make sense? So we gotta get this roadmap pretty clear. It's not to say, oh, I'm a beginner. I don't practice no self now. I gotta take care of myself first. Of course, we hear the teaching of no self like today, and we start to practice it. So it's not really like linear, but basically, we gotta take care of ourselves first, right? We gotta be healthy, and then we gotta mature. You know, be more congruent, more grounded. That's what I mean by mature. And then we gonna expand, right? Learn to see things in an interconnected way, right? And to, you know, take other person's perspective, or from multiple perspectives, instead of just like this tunnel vision, me, you know, looking at things. Okay? Yeah. All right. So you have a homework assignment, right? Okay. What do we do? Two things. Do you remember? This is about working with impermanence, right? So see impermanence as new beginnings, fresh. Right? Don't dislike wandering thoughts. Don't dislike aversion. Of course you don't perpetuate anger, aversion. You don't do that either, but you don't have to hate it, right? See it as fresh, new beginnings. Oh, here it comes again, right? See that. And then second thing, learn to ground yourself. Relax. Relax, ground, and then engage. Right? It's very practical suggestions. And then today we talk about the three seals of Dharma. So this will help you kind of to gauge, to process all these different Buddhist teachers coming to Emory to give a talk. Right. Otherwise, you'll just be too confused by all these different things. Some people are talking about empowerment, another one's talking about five skandhas, another one's talking about this. It's just kind of like, it's like pieces of the puzzle. You don't know how to put it together. So the way to put it together is, talking about suffering. Ah, he's talking about impermanence now, or some variations of it. Ah, he's talking about liberation, no self. Right? Compassion would fall into that liberation aspect. Right? So interconnectedness, you know, not self-referential. You know, so, all right? Okay. Good to be back again. And I'll see you next week.